Greetings to each one. It's been a blessing to be here already. Just want to say a special welcome to our visitors. Thank you for joining us. I appreciated your opening thoughts, Jordan. Goes very well with what I was thinking about sharing on, and you shared some of my same thoughts. You talked about being a safe place, being there for others, encouraging others, using opportunity to do something to make a difference, be humble, available, and useful. So thank you. Those are all things that are most of them I was thinking about when my message today. My title is Weary and Worn? There is Rest By and By. A few weeks ago, I was thinking about a message and praying about one, and I had several in mind, but nothing, no clarity. Then one morning as I got up, that song came to my mind. It starts out, often weary and worn on the pathway below. And I just pondered that thinking. I remember I just prayed, as Lord, what do you want me to share? And that came to my mind. And I was thinking, is that really what you want me to share, or is that just what I'm feeling that morning? And I was tired. I got up. And so I was thinking about that song, and later I looked up and I looked the song up. I'd forgot the rest of that song says, there is rest by and by. So to me, that was encouraging, that if we're weary and worn, there is rest by and by. There's a day coming when we can have a final rest. And that song, I just want to read a little bit of it. Often weary and worn on the pathway below, when the burden is heavy, my heart throbs with woe. Oh, there comes a sweet whisper to quell every sigh. Do not faint neath the load. There is rest by and by. So how are you feeling this morning? Are you weary? Are you weary and worn? And that's what we're going to look at today. First of all, let's pause for prayer before we go on. Let's pray. Our Father, we are again grateful for your love for us, grateful for your many blessings. Thank you for a brotherhood, a sisterhood, that we can gather together in this way to hear from you and be encouraged by one another's lives. Lord, help us to be faithful. Just guide my thoughts and lips with this message. Lord, we need you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, the title is Weary. There's Rest By and By. The first point I want to make, and I want to use, the first one is, of 5 points. Are you weary? That would be my first one. I want to look at that. Are you going through severe trials and testings? Are you becoming discouraged and feeling like giving up? I know everybody's at different places in life. Weary would mean, in the dictionary, would say exhausted in strength or endurance, and having one's patience, tolerance, or pleasure exhausted. I'm just pondering that a little bit. Having one's patience, tolerance, or even pleasure exhausted. That's what one of the definitions of weary is. You know, we can think of us as we are weary at times, but you know, even Jesus, I believe, got weary. We know he went apart to pray and rest a while at times to be refreshed in a desert place. So we're not alone. I think we need to ask ourselves a few questions if we're weary. Why are we weary? I know there's maybe you're a busy mom, can hardly keep after, or dad or whatever, young children, you're not getting sleep. They're just, maybe you're dealing with health issues. There's many things that can make us weary. Another question I think we need to ask, am I resisting what, or am I learning what God wants me to learn, or am I resisting it? Am I learning what God wants me to learn, or am I resisting it? The refiner sat before a blazing fire with a pot of molten metal over it, heated from the pumping bellows. He looked into the pot and studied the liquid silver. He was refining it to its purest form. He was drenched in sweat from the extreme heat, yet his face was calm except for the intent look in his eyes. He was watching for the perfect time when all the dross would settle to the bottom of the pot, and he could see his reflection in the refined silver. At that instant, he drew the pot out of the fire, knowing that farther heat would be ruinous. ruinous. He had accomplished what he wanted. I guess to me that just stood out. He kept it in just long enough to get what he wanted, but he did not go beyond. The Lord, our refiner, wants to do the same thing with us. He sees the dross in our lives, so he puts us over the fire of trial and hardship. He knows just how much heat it will take to remove the impurities in us. The instant he sees his likeness reflected in our life, he turns off the heat, lest he ruin us by allowing temptation above what we are able to bear. To me, that shows a loving God. He knows what is best for us. He will not allow more than we can handle. He will, just like the refiner refining silver, he will give us just what we need, but not more. He knows how much we can handle. In the midst of the intense heat, we are tempted to complain that it's too much. But we fail to remember that our Master is in the heat with us, constantly looking for his reflection. Apostle Paul could actually take pleasure in these testings. Their literal meaning is that he thought well of the infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses that he endured. Have I come to the place where I allow God to work in my life without any reservation? If so, he will show his strength in my weakness, and his reflection will be clearly visible in me. When I think of the Apostle Paul, he could actually take pleasure in these testings. I don't know if he was jumping up and down in joy, but I think he had a pleasure that knowing God is allowing this for a purpose. He's making him a better person. There's a purpose for it, so he could take it with joy. He responded knowing there's a purpose for it, God has a plan, and he is willing to do it for the Lord. So now I want to turn to Numbers 20, a very familiar passage. Think of Moses when we think of being weary and worn. Numbers 21 to 13. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So it would seem like here Moses, we know he was a very patient man. He endured much with the children of Israel, but it seemed like maybe his patience, he was weary and his patience, his tolerance was exhausted. He was frustrated. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it like God had said. And that's easy to do. We can become frustrated with situations in life and respond wrongly. we can become exhausted. We can, our patience, tolerance can become exhausted. So may we not respond like Moses did when he was weary. But let's go to point number two is, let us go on. If we're weary, but let us go on. Let us go on, be overcomers. Look to God and obey him, for he is good. Let us go on. The way might look hard, but let's press on. By faith, we take one step at a time. We take the next right step. We go on in faith, taking the next right step. If we are going through a trial, we can ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth or lesson God wants us to know. To be overcomers in trials, we need three things. The first thing is to trust in God. The verse says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The second thing we need is a solid foundation. So the first was we need trust in God. The second is a solid foundation. According to Jesus' parable in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, hearing his teachings and doing them is like building a house upon a rock. But if we hear them and do them not, it's like building upon the sand. We're familiar with that parable. A foundation of faith and obedience is indispensable for overcoming trials. So we need faith and obedience, not one or the other. And the third thing we need is spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, I will turn there. We need to have spiritual maturity to be overcomers. Hebrews 5, 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even by those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here it's talking about immature believers that should be teachers, but they need to be taught again. They were drinking milk instead of eating strong milk. They needed to reach full age and exercise their senses to discern both good and evil, and so do all who would be overcomers in trials. So I want to look just a little bit at verse 13. It talks about using milk here would mean unskillful, ignorant or inexperienced. So unskillful, ignorant, or inexperienced. And then verse 14, it talks about using meat. Strong meat would be solid, stable, or sure. So you see the opposite of unskillful, ignorant, and inexperienced. So what these verses are saying, it's not a people that lack information. They lacked experience in practicing the information they had. And maturity comes from practicing or doing. That's how maturity comes. As we practice or do righteousness, we will then have less difficulty determining good from evil. If you think of that last part of verse 14, it says, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's just a simpler way of putting it. If we do righteousness, we will have less difficulty discerning or determining good from evil. And then we won't lose our way going on in faith and going on in our life, going on making the next right step. We will be longing after God like David did. David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote in Psalm 84, 2, my soul longeth, my flesh crieth out for the living God. It was because of his strong desire for God that even after grievous failure, David could again repent and find his will in God's life, his place in God's will. How much do we long for God? How fervently do we pursue his will? where are we at? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Can I truly say that the words of God are more important to me than food? Abraham had his heart fixed on God, and because of it, he got up early to send his son Ishmael away at God's command. Abraham also got up early to obey after God told him to sacrifice Isaac. Are we willing to do that? Rise up early, or we could say quickly. Maybe it would be another way. Quickly go obey God. Quickly do what God wants. When we know what God wants, are we willing to be like Abraham? Quickly go do something hard when God asks us. Joseph longed after God. That yearning kept him faithful during the extreme hardships of being betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and pursued by Potiphar's wife. And what he said was, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We know the story well. He was accused and imprisoned wrongly. Only through his commitment to God could he remain faithful. Even he was far from his family. If we could say in our setting, far from our church brothers and sisters, but he was willing to be faithful, he was committed to God through all these hard times. Moses, longing after God, sustained him during the difficult journey through the wilderness as leader of the fickle and often rebellious Israelites, which I already read some verses about him. Moses, his longing after God sustained him. Daniel pursued God three times a day in a strange land, thinking of when he went to pray, when they said, you may not pray to anybody except the king. He prayed to his God anyway, and we know the story. God protected him from the lions in the den. So how much does it take you and I to get distracted from what God wants us to do? Distract us from God and get us to focus on circumstances? How must God feel when we buckle under the small pressures that come our way? David wrote, I have set the Lord always before me. I shall not be moved. Oh, for a heart like that. A heart like that will help us go on and be an overcomer. The next step, the next right step, the next hard thing we will be able to do. Point three is helping others go on. This other was weary. Are you weary? Then going on, being an overcomer, now helping others, which is a lot of my thoughts. What Jordan was saying, encouraging others when we can think, who am I? What do I have to offer? What can I do? What can I say? But I think we all know our words that we say or not say, our smile or our snob can affect people for a long time. We can have feelings that can affect people where they go in life. Is my life lifting up others? In Exodus, I just want to read a few verses there. Exodus 17, 11 to 13. Thinking of Exodus 17:11. So here's the battle, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we can see Moses needed the other, Aaron and Hur, to help him win the battle. It was by them helping, and they won the battle. So are we willing to do whatever it takes for whoever's in our lives, our brothers, sisters, in the congregation or whoever, to hold up their hands? Do we notice when they just about can't go on any longer? Are we willing to help, listen, pray, whatever is needed for them? Are we willing to reflect Jesus' light? The small town of, Rjukan in Norway is nestled deep in a valley. Surrounded by tall mountains, the town does not receive any direct sunlight for about 6 months every year. So it's basically a town with mountains all around it. And it was very dismal. So in 1913, a man named Sam Ide suggested they put reflective mirrors on the slope of the mountain to reflect the sun down into the valley. And they couldn't then because of technology. But I think they just saw the importance of sunlight, so they, in 1928, they put a cable car up so they could take the people up for sunlight occasionally to get sunlight, just seeing the importance of sunlight. But 100 years after he suggested it, in 2013, three giant computer-controlled mirrors were installed on a mountainside to reflect the sunlight into the gloomy town. The project was finished in October, and the townspeople celebrated at the prospects of seeing sunshine in winter. I just found that interesting, how it can, I think, it can really affect people. If you imagine living in an area where you'd see hardly any sunlight for 6 months. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We know we will never become perfect like Jesus. But if we want to inherit God's kingdom, we must be mirrors, reflecting his love and kindness to the people around us. Just as the sunshine received by those townspeople is not direct, but only reflected, so the people of Jesus' generation cannot see the sun directly, S-O-N, but see only the light that his followers reflect. So do we see, as professing Christians, the importance of our lives, reflecting Jesus' love to others? That is what we are to do. To make a mirror, glass is coated with non-toxic silver or aluminum. It is very important that the glass is polished to perfection, for any dip or impurity will cause distortion of the reflected image. Likewise, it is important for us as believers to search the scriptures so that we give a pure, accurate reflection of Jesus' image. We cannot just follow some human tradition or old wives' fables. We need to truly know the scriptures, know what they say, and follow them. Being pure mirrors reflecting Christ to our spouse. Being pure mirrors means reflecting Christ to our spouse by being patient with him or her. It means reflecting him to our children by providing a godly home. It means reflecting him to grandma with thoughtful visits. It means reflecting him to our neighbors with a home-cooked casserole in time of need. And we could go on and on. Let's find ways to reflect Jesus' love in our community or wherever we are. There can be many ways. And I know that reflecting Jesus' love can encourage, as I said, people to go on. The one who is struggling with sin or the seeker that is looking for something. And we know that Jesus' love has great power. So as we reflect his love by the words we say, the things we do, how we make people feel, has a great effect on the journey and lives of others. Some of the things that Jordan was saying, the things we say or don't say, how we make people feel. So are we willing to help others, encourage others, no matter what it takes? And this stood out to me recently. We were out at Somerset County, the Q Creek Mine Rescue in 2002. I know some of the older ones probably remember that. There's now a museum there. And in July of 2002, there was 9 miners trapped 40 feet below the ground. They were, 9 got out, but the other 9 went to the highest part of the mine, and there was an air pocket there, so they were there for 78 hours or 3 1/4 days they were in there before they were rescued. So thinking of, are we willing to do whatever it takes? And there was many things in that whole story I could elaborate on, but I was thinking about, first of all, helping others. When the coal seam burst and a river of water came in through the mine, one of the miners grabbed the phone and called the others that were in the deeper part. And he shouted an urgent message on the phone that they need to get out. They couldn't hear the water coming, but they heard the urgency of his voice, and they immediately got out. There was a doing whatever it takes, an urgency in the man's voice. You need to get out. This is serious. You need to get out. So the other nine got out of the mine, but one of the ones that sent the message, they did not get out till later. So back to the original nine and thinking, are we willing to do whatever to help others? They are in a swift current of water trying to go up. They realize they can't get out through the low area, so they're going through swift water, going toward the higher part. The one worker got separated from them on the other side of this river, and their thoughts, sort of what they said was, if one dies, we're all going to die together. So they would not let him go. They got him across. So now they're pulling themselves up through some deep water, and there was a conveyor belt along the side. They were hanging on, pulling themselves, and there's like a swift river of water running. There's skins coming off their fingers from tearing at the belt. And one of the men finally, he said he just left go. He couldn't go anymore. He left go. But one of the others grabbed him and threw him on the conveyor belt. So now he's on the belt. It's not moving, but he could go better because he wasn't in the current as deep. He was near the top. But I had to think of the one that threw him on was probably almost drowning himself. He was doing all he could, but he was not willing to let anybody else to go. He was willing to do whatever it took to. He wasn't going to let one of the others go. He cared about the others. And I had to think, in our own lives, we may be going through or have gone through hard things. I think the older we get, the more likely some people have gone through hard things in their lives. And as a result, we can feel like we have nothing to give. Who am I? We have nothing. We're beaten down. But sometimes we're the only one that can help. We're the only one close by, or the only one that knows, or we have to help even though we feel like we have nothing to give, like that miner did. Some more thoughts on the rescue of the miners, doing whatever it took, or being willing to. This is now outside the mine. So they drilled down 105 feet with a 36-inch bit, and it broke. So they start another hole, and that one broke, the bit broke, and they can't get these bits out. So there was Navy SEALs were there, and they came and told them they're trained to weld underwater. So they said, tie us by our ankles and put us down, we will go weld that on. We can weld it on so we get the bit out so we can keep drilling. The ones in charge said it won't work. There's too much mud from the drilling. The welder won't work. But this man was willing to do whatever it took, risk his life to go down there and weld underwater so they get the bit out so they could keep drilling. So they couldn't do that. The other bit is broken. So they have to figure out a way to get the bit out. So what they needed was what they called an overshot, which basically is, they said it's like almost like a jar with threads. They need to make one and took a thread on the bit to pull it out. So they call a company that to make one of these, and they said it will take 2.5 days to make one. And they said, we don't have 2.5 days. So the owner closed his business, and he told all 94 employees, you can go home or you can help. And they said, all 94 workers stayed. And in 3 hours, the National Guard flew in a still warm overshot there to get this bit out. So I'm just saying they were willing to do whatever it takes to get this bit out. They said it was a very warm, yet they said two men had welded at the same time, welded this thing up, and to handle it, yet when it got there, they had to use blankets because it was so warm. So my thoughts with that is they were willing to do whatever it takes. Am I? Are you? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to help others along on a journey of life, to encourage them? Point number four is God's encouragement. His encouragement for us to go on, not only on, but in the right way is what I'm thinking of. We know he cares for us. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 1-7. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even so, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So I think that these verses can be an encouragement to us. God made us, he created us, and he says, fear not. He redeemed us. He calls us by name. Verse 2 says, I will be with thee. Verse 5, fear not. And verse 7, we were created for God's glory. I think that should be an encouragement for us to go on. He knows us by name. He created us. And then some familiar verses in Matthew 10, 31. I won't turn there, but it says the very hairs of our head are numbered. And fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. God cares about us. Jesus cares about us. And Jesus is like a shepherd protecting us, leading us on the right path. John 10, 1-5. John 10, 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So Jesus is like a shepherd, protecting us, caring for us. He is there for us. And I think sometimes God may send miracles to encourage us. I think we probably have all heard of or experienced miracles. And I think that can be an encouragement to show God's power, show his care for us. The same thing at the Q Creek Mine Rescue, there was many miracles that happened the way things worked out. We could say they're just coincidence, but there was many things, and I'm just going to think of one or two. So when they first wanted to drill down to see if the men are alive and if they could find where they were at. They were drilled a 6-inch hole down, and they used GPS to find the spot and also surveyors, and they came within 6 inches of the same spot. And later, they wanted to drill something else after it was all over for some reason, and they missed the mine by 45 feet where they wanted to go. And they said that was normal when they used GPS and surveyors to be off about 31 feet. So this was, but when they did it this time, it was within 6 inches. And things like they needed to pump the mine out to get the water level down for these men. There's many things about it they had to be careful. But there was a driver hauling 2,000-3,000 gallon a minute pumps going to Indiana, but he stopped for the night in Somerset. And he heard about this mine rescue, and he brought the pumps there and asked if they could use them. And another one was a 7,000 gallon a minute pump was going to New Jersey, and they heard about this. They said the police stopped them at the border and escorted them the whole way to the mine. Just things like that. There was things available at that time. They needed them really badly. I mean, major. This is huge pumps. So, yeah, there's many other things, and I don't think I'm going to go into it, but it was encouraging that the way God worked it out to get these miners out. So going on, thinking of the next point is, number five, is looking to the final rest. As I said, if we're weary, we go on and being encouraged, but let's look into our final rest by and by. And I think that can bring us some encouragement, some, if we think about our final rest, if we're going through hard times, and thinking of heaven, I want to read a few verses in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So verse 3 is one of the ones that stood out to me. There shall be no more curse. The Amplified would say, for no more curse, detestable, foul, offensive, impure, hateful, or horrible. There'll be no more of that when we think of our life here. How much there is evil, how many things we go through, but there will be no more curse someday. And verse 14 yet, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments, have the right to enter. May that be an encouragement to us. If we are obedient, accepted him and are obedient, we can enter. So as we look to, as we live our lives here, let us not lose sight of our heavenly goal. We are looking for heaven. We have it, our eyes are fixed on that. And years ago, when settlers traveled west on the Oregon Trail, the long, weary miles seemed endless. That's how our life can be today. But the travelers needed assurance that they were on the right track. They could not afford to get lost by missing an important landmark. They watched for markers to confirm that they were following the right path. One well-known signpost was Chimney Rock in what is now western Nebraska, which all the pioneers rejoiced to reach. Soaring 500 feet above the surrounding prairie and reflecting the rising sun from its pinnacle, Chimney Rock was like a torch to light the way. I think it's something they could see. They knew they were going the right way. They gave them assurance. just like as we journey through life, we need signposts along the way. We need to be sure how we're traveling. We look to the precepts of Scripture as immovable markers to guide us. And we trust Christ to safely guide us through all our dangers and difficulties. Each new day, the light of His love will shine on the towering rock of faith, giving us courage to press on. The weary travelers rested and refreshed themselves at the base of Chimney Rock before attempting the most difficult phase of their journey, the passage through the mountains. We don't know what we'll face ahead. We don't know if we'll face difficulties, but we need to be ready. And there can be many different paths to choose. Which one will we choose? What destination are we striving for? We have never gone the way before us. The mountain range ahead looks impassable, but if we keep the trusted landmarks in sight, faithfully follow our leader, and stay on the marked path, we will safely reach home. if we stay on the right path. Again, thinking of the song, in that beautiful city there is rest by and by, where the ransom will live with the Savior on high. I think it's good to think of that as some of those songs we sing. Think of the beautiful city and the rest when things are hard. I want to close yet with a poem. How our Heavenly Father loves us, and He watches over all. Yes, He knows when we are hurting, for He sees the sparrow fall. When your soul is sorely troubled and your head in sorrow bowed, still the sun is shining brightly just beyond those gloomy clouds. So remember, fellow pilgrim, as you travel on life's road, when your day is overshadowed and you bear a heavy load, even when the day is darkest and a mist your way enshrouds, that the sun is always shining just beyond those darkened clouds. When the Lord returns from heaven, gathering all His children home, every eye shall see Him clearly, anywhere that man may roam. Every dweller on the earth will hear the trumpet clear and loud. Saints will rise to meet the sun who's shining brightly on the clouds. So I just want to encourage all of us, may we be faithful, go on, and think of the rest that is coming, the rest by and by, and may someday I picture we will, I don't know how it will be, but maybe we'll give a big sigh and think we are here, we're at last, we that to look forward to. So God bless you.